as we head down the Gray Eagle Resort and Casino guest hotline. I'm guessing to the Windy City of Chicago, Illinois, to catch up with my good friend, the radio voice of the Blackhawks, John Weideman. Are you in Chicago, John?
I am, Derek. Actually, I'm in a suburb of Chicago. I live out about 25 miles west of the city. And right now it's in the, I'd say about the mid 90s, and the humidity is nasty.
100%.
So I'm indoors with my trusted friend here, my dog Dublin, just was waiting for your call.
Well, good stuff. Quite often, I'm sure you get the same question, but quite often people will ask me, where's your favorite stop on the road? And my answer when I was in the American Hockey League, and even my first, you know, 3 or 4 years in the National Hockey League, was always Chicago. I love the city, and it's still one of my top two or three. One of my other favorites is New York, and you've actually had a chance to call games for teams in both cities. I mean, how lucky have you been in your NHL broadcasting career?
Derek, hockey has given me a life. I have been exceedingly fortunate, and along the way I've met some great people, people who have really influenced my career and my life and kind of helped to mold and shape me as a person. I can't say enough about what the game of hockey has done for me and for my family. So, yes, exceedingly fortunate doesn't even cover it. I mean, it gets you about a third of the way there. So I feel very grateful for everything I've ever had.
Before we get to some hardcore hockey talk and get to some Hawks talk, let's continue on this line of questioning. So outside of New York and Chicago, where you've spent time doing play-by-play for the Islanders and the Blackhawks, what are your favorite stops in the league when you're on the road?
Well, Calgary is one of them. I love going to the Canadian cities. And my top city, my top road city in the NHL is Vancouver. Mm-hmm. I love Vancouver. Vancouver, if somebody said to me, John, you can't live in Chicago anymore, you got to move to Canada, I'd say, okay. And my primary destination, I think, would be Vancouver, primarily because of the beauty of the city. And it's just so picturesque. It's the kind of a place where when you get there, you know, you want to grab a coffee and go for a long walk and just take in the sights and take in the beauty of what I feel is the nicest, let's say the most beautiful, picturesque city in North America. But I can tell you this, I like visiting Calgary a lot. I think Calgary is a clean city. I think it has people with the right kind of values. There are tremendous hockey fans out there, knowledgeable too. And it's always a good experience when I go to Calgary. I've never had a bad experience there. My favorite CFL team is the Stampeders, so that kind of adds into the equation, too.
Well, it's a good team to pick as your favorite team in the league, since they've been the best team for quite some time. Okay, last question along this line. Favorite rink to call games in outside of United Center?
Oh, that's a tough question. Because there are some, my least favorite used to be the Joe in Detroit.
I'm with you. Yeah.
The circumstances there were challenging some days and evenings. But since they've moved into the Little Caesars, I think that has taken a dramatic turn, and I think it's now one of the better broadcast perspectives. I'm liking more and more. I'm liking Madison Square Garden in Detroit.
Yes.
In New York. I'm sorry. And underrated, I think, maybe off the grid a little bit, but, and maybe you'll agree with me and maybe not, but Staples Center in Los Angeles, I've always liked that perspective, where you are and how connected you are to the game. You're at the front lip of the upper bowl. And the players appear close enough that you could almost reach down and slap them on the back as they skate by, but they're far enough away to where you get a great perspective of the ice, and you know, you can describe things in detail, and it just seems like it's the proper distance, you know, from the ice to the broadcast booth so that you can look down and properly analyze the game.
I'm with you. The only issue I have with the broadcast booth at Staples is that there's that vent that continuously blows cold air on you. You need a Snuggie or a Slanket to keep you warm during the games, but it is a great spot to call games from. I got to tell you, though, one of my favorites is United Center. A nice booth, good location, but just right from the anthem on, it's just a such a fun place to call a hockey game, and such passionate hockey fans there. So looking forward to getting there for Flames Blackhawks games next season. Looking back at last season, it was certainly an interesting one in Chicago. The Blackhawks had some ups and downs. Take us through the 2018-2019 season and what went on with the Hawks.
Well, it started out, of course, with Joel Quenneville at the helm again, and nobody really knew that the leash that he was on was pretty short. And that's kind of a mean thing to say, but the team started out in their first 10 games, they were 6-2-2, and then all the doubters sort of went and hid in the weeds. And then they had that Western road trip that included a stop in Calgary, and Derek, and you may recall that game early in the season where Duncan Keith ran one of the Flames. I think the kid's name was Dylan Dubé. Not even 2 minutes into the game. And Dunk was assessed a 5-minute major. He was sent on his way for the game. And the coaching staff didn't put anybody in the penalty box. They completely forgot to put somebody in the penalty box during that major penalty kill. The Flames did get one goal, as I recall, on their power play. But the Blackhawks were shorthanded a total of 6 minutes and 47 or 48 seconds, something like that. Jonathan Toews had to come off the bench, grab the puck, skate it over center ice, and fire it up into the netting behind the Flames net in order to get a whistle so that they could get an extra man on the ice. And that proved to be the final nail in Joel Quenneville's coffin. They had lost, I believe it was the night before, two nights earlier, up in Edmonton, where the team just flat out didn't show up, and they hung poor Cam Ward out to dry in goal. You could tell that things were boiling from a management perspective at that time. And so I kind of held my breath because I'd been working with Joel Quenneville for 10 seasons. And for my money, there isn't a better coach in hockey than Joel. And a great guy, great human being as well. And after the loss in Calgary, I remember we decided instead of staying the night and flying back to Chicago the next day, we went back to Chicago that night, and I had a feeling that's it. This is going to be it, because they didn't have another game until Thursday night down in Carolina. And I thought to myself, this is the time. If they were going to make a coaching change, they would pull the trigger, bring in another coach. He'd have a little bit of time to work with the guys and get them ready for Carolina. And it didn't happen until Sunday night. And so that was a little tough. That was a little tough on everybody in the organization. I remember going into the press conference the following day, and I talked to our director of human services, Marisa Terra, and she was almost crying. And it was like there was a death in the family. It was a guy that we had all gotten to know so well in Joel Quenneville. And it was a really hard day. Jeremy Colleton took over. He's a great kid, and I think he's going to be a great young coach. And it was hard for him. The team went through the next, I think, couple of months, they went through 2 8-game losing streaks. One was a winless streak, but they were like 0-6-2. I think they had 1 or 2 or maybe 3 wins in that time. And really, that was the time where the Blackhawks took themselves out of the playoffs. And it was an uphill climb from there. I give Jeremy Colleton a lot of credit. And I actually want to credit the veteran players in the Blackhawks dressing room for deciding at some point, okay, we're in. Let's get this done. And they fought back and fought back and fought back. They finished, I think, 4 or 5 points short of a playoff spot. And we all saw St. Louis go from last to first and win the cup. So it was a weird kind of a year for the Blackhawks and maybe for a lot of teams in the league. But I know that going into next season, this team has been fortified. And the team that Jeremy Colleton is going to take out of training camp for 2019-20 is a lot different from the one that he left at the end of 2019.
You mentioned the coaching change, and that's part of what has kept general manager Stan Bowman busy the last couple of seasons. But even though the core group of Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane and Brent Seabrook and Duncan Keith and Corey Crawford are still in place, there's been a ton of player movement with the Blackhawks the last couple of years, hasn't there?
Oh, yeah. There's been quite a bit. And not necessarily just up and down from their American League affiliate in Rockford. There have been players that have been brought in through trades. I think Stan Bowman, and there have been a couple of free agent acquisitions as well. Stan Bowman, the vice president and general manager of the Blackhawks, after the 2017 playoff elimination at the hands of the Nashville Predators in a 4-game sweep, I think that was the moment where Stan said, I got to make some radical changes here. And the initial changes didn't really pan out for the team as well as they had hoped. I know that there was a huge trade that sent Artemi Panarin to the Columbus Blue Jackets, along with a kid named Tyler Motta, who now plays for Vancouver. And in exchange, they got back Brandon Saad, and they got a guy named Anton Forsberg, who they have since traded to the Carolina Hurricanes. That trade had a sort of a so-so workout level. I would think that in the hockey world, they probably looked at that trade and they said Columbus won that trade because they got Artemi Panarin. But now they don't have him anymore because he's with the Rangers as a UFA. The Blackhawks knew that that was going to happen at the end of Panarin's contract. So I think that was part and parcel of the deal. And then they traded Nicklas Hjalmarsson to the Arizona Coyotes, almost called them Phoenix, and they got back Connor Murphy. So they got back 6 years in age and a couple million dollars less in contract. But, you know, losing a guy like Nicklas Hjalmarsson was huge. It left a huge hole in the Blackhawks' defense. And I give Connor Murphy a lot of credit. He caught some barbs from some of the people in the Blackhawks' world. He turned a deaf ear to it. And he's been very solid, I think, since he's come to the Blackhawks. And I expect him to have a good year coming up. But they made other deals that I think they felt were going to help the team in the interim and get them to a point where they could get into that playoff mix. And it really fell short. So these latest moves, Derek, these latest moves that this team has made, I think are significant. And if you want, we can talk about them.
Yeah, the radio voice of the Chicago Blackhawks, John Weideman, joining us down the Grey Eagle Resort and Casino guest hotline. And I do want to ask you about a very interesting free agent signing that the Blackhawks made this summer in a moment. But first, you talked about the coaching change, going from a veteran head coach to a very young one, and how the veteran players on the Hawks bought into that. One guy whose numbers really popped last season, Jonathan Toews, and a lot of people were wondering with all of the hockey that he had played and, you know, lots of long playoff runs, including three Stanley Cups and, you know, tons of international hockey representing Canada as well, if he had, you know, started to go on the decline. But last season, and I was actually surprised when I looked this up, John, Jonathan Toews had a career high 35 goals and 81 points playing in all 82 games. What changed for Jonathan Toews last season?
I'm going to say that Johnny took not being in the playoffs, the playoff elimination in 2017 and not being in the playoffs 2017-18. I think he took that very personally. He's always been a fitness nut. He's been a nutrition nut. He's been on a diet that's very clean to his system. And he's been on it long enough now that he's starting to gain weight and gain muscle. I don't know if it's a total vegan diet or what exactly it is, but he's a very clean living guy now. And so I think that benefited him this past season. But I think the confluence of factors, really, the playoff elimination I mentioned, the failure to get anywhere near the playoffs in 2017-18, the expectation going into last season, and the firing of Joel Quenneville, I think all of that worked on Johnny as the captain of the team. And I think he felt like he had an obligation to lead the team back into the playoff chase. And they call him Captain Serious for a reason. When he walks into the building, you know, to play a game or to practice, there's a little switch that goes off behind his head. And he turns into a guy who, not only does he love to play the game, but he can be a little tough on his teammates when he feels they're not giving what they need to, and not in an abusive way, but in kind of a big brotherly way. He expects a ton from himself. If he doesn't get what he expects of himself, he's in a sour mood. And I've noticed in games after the Blackhawks will lose and he didn't do what he had hoped to do, he's got that look in his eyes, that glint, like, just leave me alone, everybody. I'm ticked off at myself and I've got to be better. He takes that onto himself. He never makes excuses. And I think in time, guys in that dressing room feed off of that. So I am not surprised that he had the career year that he had. Every game he'd go in, he'd play as hard as he could, and you'd be touching wood the whole time saying, God, let's just hope he doesn't get injured. But I think he felt like, you know, all of those factors that I mentioned, plus his age, I think he felt like he had a reputation to live up to, and he did. And if he could continue on that path going into next year, I think the Blackhawks are really going to benefit, because I think everybody will feed off the example that he'll set in the dressing room.
Obviously, Jonathan Toews, a huge part of all three Stanley Cup championships the Blackhawks have won since he's been there, and a guy who's been an enormous part of two of them is, at least seemingly from the outside, in a little bit of limbo right now, and that's goaltender Corey Crawford. Obviously, he's had some issues he's had to work through off the ice with the vertigo and whatnot, but I just wonder where he stands with the addition of goaltender Robin Lehner, who was a finalist for the Vezina Trophy last season, in free agency. How do you see the Hawks' goaltending situation playing out next season, John?
Well, first of all, I don't think anybody saw the Blackhawks signing Robin Lehner as an unrestricted free agent. I don't think anybody saw that coming. Maybe the people, you know, inside the inner sanctum of hockey ops with the Blackhawks, but I truly don't think anybody saw Robin Lehner coming to the Chicago Blackhawks. I think everybody in the Blackhawks world is happy about it, because now in the stable, the Blackhawks have two starting goaltenders. They've tied up $11 million AAV, but if the investment pays off with a playoff berth and maybe a lengthy playoff run, everybody's going to say it was well worth it. The twist of this whole thing is that both goaltenders at the end of next year are going to be unrestricted free agents. So that's something that management's going to have to deal with a little bit. But I think in time they'll know what move will be the right move. Waiting in the wings, of course, is Colin Delia, who played a bunch of games for the Blackhawks here in the last two seasons. He's been very good when called upon. And they got a kid that led Team Finland to the World Championships in Kevin Lankinen, who's playing in Rockford. So Rockford's situation is going to be solid. And if necessary, one of those two will come up as a backup. And if you look at the Blackhawks goaltending picture, you see that you've got a starter in Corey Crawford, who's won the two Stanley Cups that you mentioned. And then, as you mentioned, Vezina Trophy candidate Jennings winner Robin Lehner. Mm-hmm. I mentioned the money. Corey Crawford has had, unfortunately, he has had some issues with concussions. And he may be at a point where management is thinking, you know what, we've got to have more insurance than just a guy that's played most of his career in the American Hockey League, referring to Colin Delia, as a backup in case Corey goes down. It'd be a roll of the dice at that point if they made Colin Delia the backup and Corey Crawford went down with another head injury. So I think the feeling was, in signing Lehner, they've got a guy that, you know, for a year, he was a starting goaltender with the Islanders, put up great numbers, had a career season, had more wins than any other year. You've got him as the number two if Crawford goes down with injury. Now you plug in a starter, and then you bring up the kid from Rockford, whether it be Lankinen or Colin Delia. And because you just don't know with a concussion how long he's going to be out. Mm-hmm. And will the side effects come back? You know, will maybe just turning his head from right to left to view or follow a pass, will he enact concussion symptoms? So it's a very strange animal to deal with. And I think in signing Lehner, they feel like they've got the insurance necessary for the goaltending position. And they put themselves in a position where losing their starting goaltender doesn't cost them the rest of the season.
Good stuff, John. You've always been one of my favorite guys to listen to, and definitely one of my favorite colleagues to catch up with, whether it be in person or on the phone like this. Thanks for taking some time for us today. It's been a really interesting offseason in Chicago, and looking forward to seeing if the Blackhawks can get back to where they're used to being, and that's in the Stanley Cup playoffs next season. Enjoy the rest of your offseason, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, you got it, Derek. Thanks for having me on, and we'll see you soon, man. Be well.